1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 this morning. Thank you for being here. Braving the weather, I understand. I came out this morning, and it was a little cooler this morning. Come out and checked everything out. It was pretty clear. And I appreciate those that helped clear the sidewalks and make sure everything was ready this morning. And appreciate the Lord allowing us to be here. Amen. His face is shining on us. He allows us to be here, and I appreciate His goodness. We'll never be ought to be ashamed of that. Amen. We ought to be able to lift His name up, brag on Jesus, and thank God for all He's done for us. You got your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10? All right, everybody say amen if you're there.
Amen.
All right, don't forget how to use that word, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, we'll look at verse 12 to begin with. The Bible says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I need your help. God, I'm looking at you and I'm begging you for your touch. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would help me to deliver the word that you put in my heart from your word today. And I pray you'd help these listeners to listen and to not only listen, but to hear and to take heed to your word. I pray, God, that you'd have your hand upon us, meet with us in a special way, in a mighty way. God, do for us what only you can do. And we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. I want to preach on this thought, when men fall. When men fall. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." And so we see that the possibility is that men do fall. You know, as I go back in here and I begin to look in the chapter of which I've just took this verse, verse 12, please go back with me and look in verse number 1. Look, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." And he's talking about how the nation of Israel, how they were in bondage, and then they followed Moses out, and Moses led them out of Egypt, and he led them through the Red Sea, and he delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. And he's talking about, he said, and they all were delivered, basically. He said they were all with Moses. And he said in verse 3, "And they all did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them," listen, "many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now, if you understand your Bible and you go with me back to Exodus, when he says many, what he means is of that generation that was delivered from Egypt, he means all of them but two. You're talking 2 to 3 million people possibly, and you're talking about two of them made it to the promised land of that first generation. The rest of them died except for the children that come after. So when he says many of them, God was not well pleased and they were overthrown, he's saying the vast majority. And then he says this in verse 6, he said, "Now these things were for our examples." In other words, he said this was a type, this was something that we can look at. This is a history lesson for you to look at and to realize if it happened to them, it can happen to you. And he said they were given for our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed," and there's the word, "and fell in one day 23,000. So in one day, 23,000 people died. Not to count the others, just in one day. And then he goes on to verse 9, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them were tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured." Y'all know about the murmurs in the wilderness. And he said, "and were destroyed of the destroyer." Now all of these things happened unto them for examples, that, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, as he writes this, he says, "I'm telling you what happened in the Old Testament." He said, "I'm telling you those people of the nation of Israel, those Israelites, and how they were delivered out of Egypt. They all were delivered, but not all of them made it to the promised land." He said, "Some of them, many of them,
And if we understand our history, all but two of that first generation died. They were overthrown. He uses words like fail, destroy in the wilderness. Are you listening to me? And that's the context when we come to verse 12. He's telling us these were examples for us so that you should not do the things that they've done, so that you should not be an idolater, so you should not be a murmurer, so you should not be a fornicator. And he's speaking of spiritual fornication in this context. Worshiping other idols, turning your backs on God. Not loving God like you ought to. And so he says, you should not do this. Now, in our life, you've seen many begin the Christian life like they have a bundle of joy and they have a great desire. They have high expectations. Many of them have lofty goals and dreams for which they aspire. But the sad fact is that while many begin this way, there are a great number which fall along the way. If I was honest with you, I'd have to tell you that not only in the Christian realm have I seen people that I used to go to church with, not in church today. I'm talking about people that used to knock on doors, people that used to pass out tracts. But I can tell you about preachers. I can tell you about Bible college students. I hate to tell you all this, but you know it's probably, I'd say most Bible college students, there's more that don't finish than do. There are many that fall along the way. They stumble, they get tripped up with something. They're hindered from ever attaining the heights for which they set sail at the moment of their conversion. They've not fallen from grace. They've not lost their salvation. They've not been disowned by their Heavenly Father. No, we understand when we get saved, the Bible said, we pass from death unto life. And he talked about how whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We understand everlasting is everlasting. Listen, if I lost it when I messed up, it wasn't everlasting. Jesus said, he that heareth my words believeth on him that sent me, John 5:24. He said, hath everlasting life. Hath everlasting life. And is passed from death unto life. That took place the moment I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. The moment I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and placed my faith consciously on Him and on Him alone, and I trusted Him, turned from my sin, put my faith in Jesus Christ. Hey, at that moment, the Bible said, I was born again. I was made a new creature. I passed from death unto life. And listen, I was bestowed upon me everlasting life. Are y'all all right? You say, how long does that last? That lasts everlasting. You don't have to die to get everlasting life. You get saved, you got everlasting life. A lot of people say, well, when I die, I'll have everlasting life. If you're saved, friend, you've got everlasting life. But the sad mark is there's a lot of people that have everlasting life that do not enjoy an abundant life in this life. Are you listening to me? There's a lot of people that have been delivered from Egypt, but they've never gone into the promised land. There's a lot of people that have been saved. They're not walking in victory. They have fallen along the way. They've had great... I can tell you story after story after story, but I'm not here to tell you stories. But the fact is, there's a lot of people that have started out. You've seen them. Man, they started out like a firecracker, but they fizzled out like a milk dud. I'm talking about they didn't last. It didn't mean they wasn't saved, necessarily. There are some, I understand there are some, that are not truly saved. There are some of those. But there are quite a few, there are many that have been saved, but they have fallen along the way. Consider with me right quick. Consider with me the reality of the fall. Men do fall. Give me some examples. I just read you several there in verses 5 through 11. He said many. There in verse number 5, he said many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown. That word overthrown means they were laid out prostrate. They were laid out flat. They had fallen. And then he talked about how they fell in verse number 8. He said 23,000 of them fell. Verse 9 and 10, how there was many that was destroyed. And I'll just give you some other examples. Can I tell you about a man named Samson? In the book of Numbers, you'll find about a man named Samson, one of the judges over the nation of Israel. And you find that Samson was a man that God had his hand upon from the time he was born. And Samson was a man who turned his back on the things of God. He disobeyed God. He did some things that wasn't right. And listen, the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. Are y'all all right? Is everybody with me this morning? Samson fell Oh, yeah, you say God forgave him. Yeah, I believe Samson's in heaven this morning. I do believe that. But I'm going to tell you something else. Hey, listen, his victory was in his death. He fell and it destroyed his testimony, destroyed his life. He was mocked. They laughed at him. And then he died. And then I think about King David. Think about King David. I'm talking about the reality that me and Ken Paul. You know, and I'm saying this because there are some who think that if you're a Christian, you're going to live above sin and you'll never be tempted and you'll never fall. But the fact is that if you're saved, you can do anything that an unsaved person can do. You'll have to suffer different consequences, but the possibility lies that you can fall. You can come prey to temptation. David, King David, a man, the Bible describes David as a man after God's own heart. The man after God's own heart, and one day he wasn't where he was supposed to be. He wasn't off in the battle when it was time for kings to be in battle. He was up on his rooftop, and he looked across, and he saw his neighbor's wife. And he said, "She looks good." He said, "Go get her for me." And y'all know the story, how David took Bathsheba, he lied with her. And listen, one thing led to another. And the next thing you know, he had her husband killed. And lie after lie. But God didn't say, "David, you're not mine." God didn't say, no, the Bible does later on say he was a man after God's own heart. Is everybody with me? And David cried out in Psalm 51 when he was crying out in prayer for forgiveness. And he said this. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." David never had to ask God to save him again. He didn't lose his salvation. It wasn't David's to lose. It was God's salvation. Jonah 2:9, salvation is of the Lord. Right. Amen. If you got saved, you're not saved because of anything you did. You're saved simply because you received what Christ did for you. Salvation is of the Lord. And he didn't say, "God, restore to me my salvation." He said, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." So he was still saved, but he lost that fellowship. He lost that joy. And he's asking God to restore. And so we see, I think about Peter. So Simon Peter. Old Simon Peter said, "Man, I'm going with you all the way to death." Y'all remember that? He told Jesus, "Man, I'm with you all the way." And Jesus told him, he said, "Before the cock crow," he said, "you're going to deny me three times." And he did. And he did. I'm simply saying there's a reality that men do fall. Then I think about this. I think about the reason of their fall. Why do men fall? Well, he talks about it here in this passage. He talks about their lust. You know, the Bible said every man's led away when he's tempted and he's led away of his own lust. The book of James chapter 1. Every man's tempted when he's led away of his own lust. We all have lust. That idea of lust is it's a desire. It's a craving that we want to satisfy the flesh, satisfy ourselves. And our lust many times gets us in trouble. Many are the avenues of temptation. Many. He listed several in this passage we read. Some fornicated. Some were idolaters. Some were murmurers. Yeah, some of them were Mormons. Amen. Some of them were murmurers. But hey, listen, they all succumbed. They all fell along in the way. Are you all right? There's many different avenues. Listen, some people will fall to the prey of the bottle. Some people to the pill. Some people to the woman. Some people to the money. There's different avenues of temptation, but the temptation is real. There's reasons. Why do we fall into temptation? Well, I believe pride. The Bible talks about how pride comes before fall. There are those who do not think they can fall. They think, "Oh, here I am. Look at me. I'm up here. I'm not like them down there. I'm not like them that fell. Oh, look at me." And they tend to look down on people who have fallen and think, "Well, I'm above that. Look up in here. Let he that thinketh he stand to take heed lest he fall." Lest he fall. Hey, pride. Yeah, man. What caused Satan? What caused? He was Lucifer. Isaiah 14. What caused Lucifer? Lucifer. He fell because of pride. He wanted to be like God. He's going to overthrow. He's going to rule. He's going to set aside the Lord. He's going to do it all. Pride. I think about pride. I think about some people have false security. Proverbs 11:28. They're trusting in their riches. They're trusting in their sales. They're trusting in their possessions. I can't fall because I've got this. Then some people have a lack of counsel and lack of teaching. Proverbs 11:14. Some people in the Christian walk, they began right. They trusted Christ, but they didn't stay up underneath the sound preaching and sound teaching, and they didn't hear the Word of God, and they didn't get discipled, and they didn't hear the Word of God preached, and so they fell back into the ways of sin. Didn't mean they didn't get saved. Be careful, friend, unless you judge and say, "Oh, that person's not saved." That's not for you and I to judge. No, I know we know the tree by the fruit that it bears, amen. Hey, but there are those, amen, that look like they're saved and they're not. Jesus told a parable about the wheat and tares. You can't tell a tare from a wheat until you pick it up and open it up. Just because somebody looks saved don't mean they are saved. Just because somebody looks lost don't necessarily mean they are. Some people fall because they have not prepared for the attack. They're not ready for the temptation. Can I say, friend, you better have a guard. He said, take heed. Take heed. Listen. You sit here this morning and say, I'd never fall. I'd never do it. I'd never mess up. Let me say something, friend. You're on the verge. If that's you saying, it never happened to me, you're on the verge. You better take heed lest you fall. The Bible has a lot to say about guarding our hearts, keeping our hearts. You better watch out what you put in it. We better watch out what you listen to. Watch what you look at. Be careful. Take heed. What you put in is what's going to come out. What you think about is what you're going to do. So we see there are the reasons. Let me say something about the results of the fall. That's what I want to get to this morning. There's a variety of effects that happen and come upon various people depending upon their situation and their spiritual walk and where they are with the Lord, if they even know the Lord. And this is what I want to look at today. I want to talk about the results of the fall. Here's what I want to talk about. When men fall, what happens when men fall? You say, preacher, I'm walking with God, I'm serving the Lord, I'm in church, my family's in church, we're serving God, but I just let up one day and I quit pursuing the things of God and I just let up and I'm just going to slip back into the world a little bit. And I will say, if you do, there will be consequences. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Everything you do is going to have consequences. It may come upon you directly. It may come upon your children. It may come upon your neighbors. It may come upon your friends. It may come upon the people at your church. It may come upon the children at your church. But I got news for you. Somebody's watching you. No man lives unto himself. No man dies unto himself. Somebody's watching you. Somebody sees you. Somebody knows that you name the name of Christ. Somebody, there are people that know down there where you work and they know you where you go to church. Your neighbors know where you go to church. Are you listening to me? And they know, listen, when you don't go. And they know, listen, they know when you're doing something, hey, listen, that you ought not do. And they know. The world, I just say like this, the world has a higher standard of the church than most church people do. I've been around people who wasn't even saved, and they said, well, you know, y'all are Christians. Y'all don't do this, and y'all don't do that. And I know, well, I know a lot of Christians that do those things. You know, people who name the name of Christ. And I'm saying this, hey, if you name the name of Christ and you're walking with God, there are people watching you, ma'am. There are people watching you, sir, and they're watching to see what your testimony is. They're watching to see, hey, what kind of life you live. And can I say this to you? If you mess up, if you slip up, if you go back and sin, if you turn your back, and listen, if you fall, and the possibility is we could all fall, but if you fall, the consequences are not only going to cost you, they could cost others. What happens when men fall, preacher? Number one, let me say this, some of them get happy. Some people get happy. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Misery loves company. There are some people who have already fallen. There are some people who used to walk with God and they're not where they ought to be with God. And instead of them getting right, they just soon bring you down. They don't like it when you're enjoying the things of God. They don't like it when God's blessing you. They don't like seeing you involved in ministry. They don't like seeing you walk with God. And instead of them getting right and coming and joining up with you, their goal, whether they tell you or not, their indirect goal is to draw you down. Some people get happy. You say, can you give me some Bible for that? Yeah, I think I can. Proverbs 4:14-16 says, enter not in the way of the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. He said the wicked, those that's not living right, those that are wicked, those that are evil. He said there are some people out there that they can't even sleep at night until they have they know deep down inside that they've made somebody else to fall. See, it pleases them. It helps them to get their enjoyment to watch others fall. There are some people this morning, I hate to tell you this, but there are some people who are waiting on you to fall. Some of you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, became a Christian, a born-again individual, and now you went around telling people I got saved. And there's probably people out there at the workplace taking dibs, and they're saying, I'll tell you what, how long is he going to last? I've heard stories and people say, I know this. I've had them tell me personally when I got saved. I was driving race cars and working in a machine shop. And if you know anything about that kind of atmosphere, there's some rough people in that kind of atmosphere sometimes. I mean, not necessarily am I downing them, but I'm saying not necessarily the Christian atmosphere all the time. And there's people like this, oh, he won't last. He'll get over it. Well, listen, by the grace of God, here I stand. 16 years later. By the grace of God. I'm simply saying this, the possibility does, and there are people out there that they're watching you, Brother Rodney. They're watching. He'll quit one day. He'll give up. He'll go back. Not only are they waiting on it, they're wanting it. There's some of them saying, man, he'll be back. I can't wait. I won't get him back over here. Maybe somebody used to party. Well, he don't party no more, but I'm going to get him over here and we're going to tempt him a little bit. He'll go for it. We'll have some more fun. And they're waiting on you. They're expecting it. And they will enjoy it because they're with you. Are you listening? There are some people that will be pleased. They will be happy. There will be some people that will be happy. But then, number two, there will be some people who get hurt. Paul talked about it here in 1 Corinthians 10. He said it in chapter 8. He said it in Romans chapter 14. He talked about us as believers and how we don't live and we don't die unto ourselves. And he talked about how we can be a stumbling block to other believers, to the immature, to those that have been newly saved. He said we can be a stumbling block. And let me say, listen, if I fall as a preacher, if I was to go back into the world and if I was to go into sin, I'm sure that, listen, it may not shake some of y'all. Some of y'all's been in it for a long time and you say, hey, when they come, when they go, I'm going to be all right. Hey, listen, but there are others that are weaker and they'll say, wait a minute, if that preacher messed up, this thing must not be real. There's people today, man, I know some of them, and they'll laugh at you when you try to witness to them because they watched such and such preacher on television, and then they saw him down here where he got caught with a woman. Some people are going to get hurt. There's people today that won't come to church because of something that a preacher did to them or another Christian did to them 30 years ago. A righteous man, Proverbs 25:26 says, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. A troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. He said, when a righteous man falls in front of the wicked, I'm talking about that lost person, and people out there that's watching your life and they're watching you. He said, listen, when you fall, it's kind of like a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. That troubled fountain has the idea of a fountain that's been trampled in by cattle. Y'all, some of y'all, I used to go over and sit over. I sit over with Brother Bernie the other day in the place where he lives, and we watched an old Western. You watch them old Westerns, and them cowboys, they'd get off their horse, and they'd get down there to the creek. Y'all watch them. And y'all watch them. They get down to that creek, and they get down there, and they laugh up. All right? Come on, y'all. Wake up. They get down there, and they laugh up that water. They want to drink that clean, cool, crystal water. But how many of y'all's ever done that? How many of y'all been hiking or something, going through the mountain, get down in there and lap up some water. Anybody? The rest of y'all bunch of city slickers. Anybody? Hey, but how many of y'all, if y'all was walking up through there and y'all was fixing to get something to drink and you saw a herd of cattle walking through about 100 yards up ahead of you, how many of y'all would want to start lapping that water then? Nobody wants to volunteer. Nobody's thirsty all of a sudden. I mean, you've been walking all day, you're tired, you're thirsty, you're cotton mouth, about the way I am right now. You get to that creek, you get down there and you go like this, and about that time you look over and you hear, and you look up and here they come. All of a sudden, no, I don't think I need none. A trampled water, trampled fountain, struggle. Somebody stirred it up, got it dirty. It's perverted, it's ruined, it's corrupted. Contaminated. Nobody wants contaminated water. But you know what the Bible says? That's kind of like what it is when a righteous man, when a saved man falls in front of a wicked man. And maybe that person that you work with, you've been witnessing, and they're watching you, and they've been watching you for years, and maybe they're on the verge, and you don't know it. Maybe they're on the verge of trusting Christ. Maybe they're on the verge, and they're watching your life. And then one night you say, ah, I think I'll just go on back out here and have a little fun. I'll just go over here and, you know, nobody ever knows it won't hurt. I'm just, well, I've heard this one before. It ain't hurt nobody but myself. That's a lie out of hell. Because there's people watching you. You may have a husband. You may have a wife. They're watching you. You may have children. They're watching you. Are you listening to me, Mom and Daddy? Hey, you may have neighbors and they're watching you.
People that you work with are watching you. And if you fall, you're going to hurt. For a just man falls seven times and rises up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief.
Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
It can happen to you. It can happen to you. There's people that's going to be hurt. There's people that'll be hurt. Let me say this. There's people that'll get hardened. Hardened. See what we're talking about, preacher? I mean, they don't just get hurt, but they get hardened. They've seen it over and over and over again. Maybe the first time they saw somebody mess up in church, maybe the first time they saw a Christian fall back into sin, or maybe the first time it didn't bother them that bad. But after they've been in this thing for a while, they've watched people over and over and over and over again. They just kind of got hard and got callous because of it. I don't think that life's for me. They don't even want to hear it anymore. Hebrews 3:12-13, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. Take heed, he said, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But what? He said, but exhort one another while it's called today. Daily while it's called today. Lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. I don't want to be hardened. I don't want to make anybody else get hardened. I want to exhort you. I want to encourage you. I don't want you to be hardened. I don't want you to look at my life and say, well, he failed. He did this. He messed up. Listen, I'm not preaching that you can be perfect. I'm not preaching that. What I'm saying is, listen, you've got a decision whether you go stay fall. Hey, a righteous man falls, but he gets back up. Some going to get hurt. Some going to get hardened. Some will get helped. Some will get helped. That's where he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of me. I'm talking about restore. That's the church's job. That's the Christian. Ye which are spiritual. That is those that you that's walking with God. Those that you have the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Hey, you that are spiritual, you that are filled with the Spirit, walking with God, restore such an one. When you see them fall, yeah, they're going to fall. It's a possibility that we can fall. It could be out of ignorance. It could be out of intention. But hey, the possibility is there are saved people that do fall. What do we do with them? Do we stab them in the back, stomp them, and kick them out and say, you wasn't saved? No, he said, restore such a one. Give them some help. When somebody falls down and breaks their leg, you don't shoot them in the head. No. You call the rescue squad. Somebody come and help them. Bandage that thing up. Set that leg. I'm going to tell you one reason why some of these pews is full right. I mean, not full this morning. I ain't been here but almost 4 years. But I'm going to tell you what. Over the years, some of these pews were filled with people. I done heard the story. Y'all done told me. Some of these pews used to be filled with people. They wasn't all lost. And they ain't all in church this morning. Some of them got hurt. Some of them fell. And instead of somebody coming along, I hate to do this. I'm going to help Brother Jimmy. Instead of somebody coming along and putting an arm up under them and saying, come on, I want to help you get back up and I want to help you get back on the path. They just said, well, he fell. He wasn't with us anyway. He stole inside. But what he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. That idea of restore, that means put him back where he belongs, set him back in place. If Jesus comes to the disciples, before there was the disciples, and they were down there by the seaside, they were in the ships and they were mending their nets. They were putting their nets, they had nets that had been ripped through everyday use, hitting rocks and jagged things in the water, and those nets had got ripped and they were down there mending their nets. They were fixing them so they could go back out fishing again. And that's the word restore, such a one. It's the same word as mending. Mending their nets. And I'm telling you, some people need help. I'm glad God will help you. Amen. Psalm 37:23-24, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Watch this. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
offering. Hey, you might kick me to the curb. You might throw me down. Hey, you might bury me with rocks. There's a God in heaven, amen, that knows me by name, and He knows my hurts, and He knows my failures, and He knows when I fall, and I'm glad that, listen, He's not going to let me down. He's not going to cast me aside, but He'll lift me up. He'll uphold me with His hand. How about that potter in Jeremiah 18? That potter had the potter's wheel going and had that clay on the potter, and he found out that it was marred. But listen, when he found that pot that was marred, he didn't take that clay and ball it up and throw it to the side. No, the Bible said he took it and he just molded it and he kept it and he made it again another vessel.
Amen.
He made it again another vessel. What he do? I'll tell you what he did. He restored it. He said, "I'm not done with you. I'm not throwing this clay away. I'm gonna fix it." I'm telling you, there's people that need help. I'm not talking about lost people right here. I'm talking about the saved people that have sat in churches for years and they're not there now. They're not serving God. And it ain't that they lost for salvation. It's that they messed up and somebody threw them down when they should have picked them up.
Right.
Some people need help. Psalm 118, verse 13. "Thou hast thrust the sword at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me." The Lord helped. We'll have the Lord to help us. Amen. You say, "Preacher, I'm sitting here this morning, to be honest with you, you may not know this, and I know this, and God knows this, but you may not know this, nobody else knows this, but preacher, I've fallen. I'm not where I ought to be. I've failed." I got news for you. There's a God in heaven that wants to help you.
That's right.
There's a God. There may be some bad people that look at you funny, but there's a God in heaven that loves you.
Amen.
And He longs to restore you. "The Lord is my shepherd." He talked, Psalm 23, He said, "He restoreth my soul."
Amen.
He restoreth my soul. Tell you this morning, God can help you. Let me give you this. When men fall, some get happy, some get hurt, some get hardened, some get helped, some go to hell. When men fall, some go to hell. See what we're talking about, preacher? You know, there's a lot of people out there that they're looking for an excuse. There's many people, I've witnessed to them, you've witnessed to them. They're looking for an excuse. They've got an excuse, and they're looking for you. They're looking for anything they can use as an excuse not to go to church. They're looking for any excuse, not to be saved. They'll say, "I'm not going down there with a bunch of hypocrites." My response is, don't go to Food Line. Don't go to Walmart, because there's plenty of hypocrites there. But they're looking for any excuse they can use. "I don't want to go down there with a bunch of hypocrites." I say, "One more won't hurt. Come on, join us."
Right.
But the fact is, they're looking. There's lost out there. They're looking for an excuse. But the sad reality is that many times we give them the excuse they're looking for. They don't have to make it up. Many times we give it to them as Christians. Sometimes it's a ruined testimony, unfaithfulness. Talk about when saved people. We're more than enough sometimes to deter the lost from ever hearing, from ever heeding, from ever receiving, and from ever believing the gospel that could save them from everlasting, eternal damnation in a place called hell. Ask yourself a question. If you fall, who may be watching you that says, "If they messed up, I don't want that Christian life"? Maybe it's somebody you worked with for years. Maybe somebody you witnessed to. Sir, they see you run off, leave your wife, get out of church, get away from God, and they'll say, "I don't need what he got." And they may never listen. They may never hear the gospel. They may never heed it and receive it. Never believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If you fall, there may be some that go to hell. Mom and Daddy, it may be your children. I can take you to a town right now. I can take you to people's houses. I know them personally. If they was in church, they was faithful. I'm talking about they was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek service, prayer meeting, sewing. And they were there all the time. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about for years. And then after some things happened, people got their feelings hurt. This one went back to this and this one went back to that. They're not in church today. And their children will laugh at you when you try to witness to them. I'm not talking about what I heard, Brother Eric. I'm talking about people I know personally. You understand? Everybody understand? I'm talking about I could call them by name right now. They was my friends growing up. But because their parents got out of the church, because their parents went back to the world, because their parents fell, their children are on their way to hell. I understand those children won't be able to get, they won't be able to stand before God and say, well, it's my mom's fault. No, it'll be their fault.
Right.
But it'll be those people in those churches that influenced them because they went back to the way of the world. And those children said, well, it didn't do them no good. I don't mean, are y'all all right? Some people are going to go to hell if I fall. I live in fear and trembling. Sometimes I fear God and I want to please Him. I want my life to be a life that pleases Him. I don't want to let my Lord down. I really don't. I want to please Him. I understand in my flesh I'm weak. I know the Bible teaches us how the flesh is the weak. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And I live in the constant reminder of that every day. My spirit's willing and the spirit, man, Brother Bateman, I want to please God. I want to live for Him. I want to trust Him. But the flesh is weak. And I live with the reminder every day that I could mess up. That's why I have to set up guards. That's why He said, take heed, lest ye fall. But he just thinking he's standing, take heed. It could happen to you, sir. It could happen to you, ma'am. It could happen to you. It could happen to you. Take heed. Say something, Brother Adrian, hey, listen, you're in church today, you're serving God. Let me say this, take heed. Because there's a little girl right there that's going to be watching you when she grows up. Amen? There's some kids right here that's watching you, deacons. Church members, there's some bus children that's coming up in here, and they're watching you. And they're seeing you in church today. But if they see you walking through food line with a keg or a box of booze, and they're going to say, well, I thought that was a Christian.
Right.
You may be, and let me say, you may be the one who influences them to be saved, or you may be the one who influences them to never want to be saved. Can I say this? It takes years. Are you listening? It takes years to build a good, solid Christian testimony. It does. It takes years. When I first got saved, Brother Mitchell, those guys I worked with, they laughed at me. But now when I go back, they know what I am. Because it's been 16 years. I'm not perfect, and they know that all too well. But they know what kind of man, they know my desires. They know I've got a testimony amongst some people. It took years to build that reputation, that testimony. But it'll take seconds to build it. Seconds. Like being in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person. Seconds. It don't take years to ruin your testimony. It takes seconds. That's why he said, take heed. Are you listening? It could happen to you. I've known missionaries that had to come off the field. I know y'all think that's unheard of. I'm talking about people who gave up their life's ambitions in the United States. They took their family, went off to foreign land. They're going to serve God. And next thing you know, he's with another woman. Or he's hooked on something on the internet. Looking at something, his wife catches him up in the middle of the night. Back. Preachers. Lay people. It can happen. Take heed. It takes years to build that reputation. It'll take seconds to ruin it. There's people today. Listen, I was talking about David. There's people today that I've talked to, and they question David's integrity. Isn't there a Bible with the Bible? I know what the Bible says about it. He was a good man after. And I'll say he was a man after God's own heart. And they'll say, but he. And they point back to, but he. There's a mar there. So what do I do, preacher? Well, verse 13 says, there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're tempted, able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. God will make a way of escape. You don't have to fall. That's why we're at that verse. I want you to know, God will make, He'll give you the ability to get out of it. He'll give you the power and the means to escape the temptation. You don't have to fall. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to fall. Okay? But if you do, what are you going to do? I tell you what you do. If you do, you get up. You get up. How do I get up, Richard? You get right with God. You get on your face and you confess your sins. You forsake your sins and you let God restore you and you let God put you back on course. Here it is again. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. So you fail. So you messed up. God's not done with you. Get up. Get on your face before God. Confess it. Forsake it. And move on. You ruined your testimony 25 years ago. Get up, get right with God, and press on. You can't change it. You can't fix the past. You can live in the future. And let me say, when you look at it, you turn the page. You say, next, and move on. And you walk with God today. You get things right. You confess it. You forsake it. And you walk with God. Don't stay fell. Don't stay on the ground. Don't stay in the muck and the mire. Don't stay in the world. Don't stay away from God. God's calling you today. You're saying, preacher, I've fallen. I've messed up. I've got away from God. Don't stay fell. Hey, a righteous man, he falls, but he gets back up. How's he get up, preacher? Because the Lord's holding him. The Lord's helping him. What happens when men fall? Some get happy. Some get hurt. Some get hardened. Some get helped. Some go to hell. My warning to you this morning is this. Don't fall. Use the way of escape that God gives you. But you need to understand that you could fall. And if you do fall, there's a God who wants to restore you. There's a God who loves you. And He don't want you to stay fallen. He wants to restore you. Put you back where you belong. You start earning another testimony today. God help us. Father, in Jesus' name, speak to hearts and lives this morning. Have your will and way in this invitation. Use your word for your will, for your glory. We thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. We're standing all across.